It's Morse code for please sit.
We missed the third tap. I knew that. We need to send you back for Morse code training. Sheriff, take care of it.
It's 8:46 on the clock. We'll call to order the regular meeting of the Gates County Board of Supervisors, October 29th, Wednesday, 2014. Please stand and recite the Pledge of Allegiance with me, please.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Open Meeting Act is posted on the wall behind the media table. Witness by observation, Juergens, Hill, Dorn, Bauman, Lytle, Byer, Setzer. Next on the agenda is the consent agenda, and the consent agenda consists of the general agenda. Approval of minutes for the meeting held October 15th, 2014. Approve all claims through October 29th, 2014 in the amount of $1,273,740.29. Finance Committee was busy. Approve and place on file all correspondence received. Approve fiscal year 2013-2014 NBCS report from the Highway Department. Approve utility permit number 1007 to North Public Power District for electric utility crossing bore of an electric line under Township Road in the southeast quarter of Section 8, in the southwest quarter of Section 9, Township 4, North Range 5 East, and that's in Blakely Township. That's a consent agenda, item 1 through 6. Need a motion to approve or disapprove or consider something separately?
Matt?
Yes, sir.
I would like to pull claim number 141-00409 for an amount of $324.61 to Johnny's Welding and vote on it separately, please.
All right.
And I would like to have claim 141-00422 for Setzer's Manufacturing in the amount of $30 he won. To be considered separately.
Okay, so we will be considering items on the consent agenda 1 through 6, including the claims, with the exclusion of those two. So we will consider those separately, those two items that were just pulled out. So I need a motion to approve or disapprove.
Matt?
I'll make a motion to approve.
You get that $1 million off there, and we'll do
it. That's why we had so much, but I'll make a motion to approve first.
Move by Dorn.
Second.
Second by Byers. Any further discussion? Vote 7-0 to approve. And
the reason that we were over $1 million in claims, part of the reason, we did do a transfer to the road department for $600,000, and we did a transfer to the 911 fund of $60,000. So there's $660,000 out of the million, whatever.
Okay. Thank you, Myron. I'll need a motion to approve claim number 141-00409 to Johnny's Welding.
Move to approve.
Second. Moved
by Hill. Second by Setzer. More discussion. Vote. 6 in favor. Juergens abstains. Next, I need a motion passes. Next, I need a motion to approve claim number 141-00422 to Setzer's Manufacturing.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Dorn, seconded by Juergens. Any further discussion? Seeing none, vote. Motion passes. 6 in favor. Kathy Setzer abstains. Takes care of the consent agenda. Next, the regular agenda. And this is where we ask for comments from the public and to have any discussion or request for future agenda items. At any time, if you want to comment on something we're discussing, raise your hand, yell out, or let us know you want to speak, and we'll let you speak. It's a public meeting. We'll jump right into committee reports. We'll go building and grounds.
Nothing unusual right now. We have our people working on the exterior of the courthouse, and we are finding some issues as far as the mortar is concerned on the stone that is going to need to be dealt with. We will have someone in here in 2 weeks for our committee meeting, and so we have some conversation relative to that at our next meeting, but some things we're going to move forward with. But other than that, all of the regular small things through the courthouse that Dave is continuing doing, finishing the work in the courtrooms that we'd approved earlier, and that's basically all we have right now. The lights are up and about ready to go for the Christmas lights, but that'll be coming in before too long also.
Call them what they are.
All day lights. I agree, but okay. For the record.
Okay. Like Denny's version. Okay, equalization.
Nothing new.
Finance and insurance.
Finance, later here we're going to talk, we put on their discussion about time clocks and stuff so we can have that and see, maybe kind of get an idea what direction we'd like to head. We had some discussion during finance about it.
Great.
And then we just talked about the large amount. And then also when, I think when Stephanie's up here, we've been noticing a little bit more in, I call it, lawyers' bills or whatever. So when she's up here, we'll have some discussion, not so much about what or why, but if there's a need, or are we to the point maybe where we need more help? We don't know. We've had some good discussion with Roger here too this morning. So when you're up here, then we'll have some more discussion about that.
Okay.
So because we've seen a fair amount of those coming through lately, more than what we're used to. So
all right. Human resource, employee relations?
I don't have any report on that, but I would like to report that I did go to the Blue Valley Community Action meeting Tuesday, a week ago Tuesday night, in Seward. And they are talking about having a major board-run fundraiser during the month of May. And I have volunteered to chair that as well as all of the other committees on that board. And since I won't be there, whoever succeeds me on that board will have the privilege of all of those. Just kidding.
Been there, done that.
Kathy? Law enforcement, emergency management.
Pretty quick meeting on Monday, as normal for the last year and a half, 2 years. Seems like communications dominated a lot of it. And currently we have a piece of equipment that we might be having to phase out and be a bill down in the 911 center. But other than that, not a whole lot going on. Thankfully, Gus has been quiet.
Terry, Road and Bridge.
First off, we had a discussion on approval utility permit for Norris Public Power for free. Philly Bridge planting trees right now. They're doing subgrade prep as we speak this week, and paving, if everything works well, we'll start next week on that part. South 66 Road is paved, just going to do some of the turning lanes. So hopefully in a few weeks, we'll begin shouldering and then striping, and then not very long down the road, that could be opened. Dirt crew working on the last big culvert project on the Wymore Liberty Road. Should be done this week also. Bridge in North Island Grove, deck slab bridge, is now open. Discussion on a driveway on the Wymore Bridge. There's a few complications. I'll try to get that ironed out this week, next week, probably next week, and see what we're going to do there. John and I attended the Boswell meeting Monday night, and the decision was to go ahead with building a new landfill, I guess. I don't know if it's the correct one, but that's the decision that was made. So,
any questions for Terry? That's it?
No, I just make a comment on them culvert projects. I think we had, when we did our road bond, then we had like 7 or 8 culvert projects with that. You know, so I think there was 5 or 6 on Liberty, 1 on Odell, and then we actually did the one north of Philly, too, there by about 3/4 mile north. We did that one, too. So we, you know, part of that road bond project, and some of these were paid out of there, but we eliminated, lately you're hearing a lot of talk about bridges and cost and upkeep and what condition they're in, but we did eliminate seven or eight bridges out of this project and replaced with culverts, but there was a cost to it, and we knew that. But I think that is another, I call it a positive thing over the long run for our county, that we have that not only for safety but cost and everything. That and the crew, I compliment our crew, because if you ever see that and how they, if you stop there when it's half done and look, it's kind of amazing the depth and the size and everything else, what they do going into putting those in and stuff. So
no, it's a huge improvement once those are in place. I mean, everybody comments on that, you know, wherever they're put in. One other comment I wanted to make. I know, you know, our bond passed last year. Jefferson County is, during election time this year, is going to be voting on, I believe I'm correct, an $8 million road bond issue over there, over 8 years. I don't know exactly, but they're on their specifications that I saw, they were going to go with concrete on about 32 miles of replacement. So, I mean, it's quite an undertaking. How the mood is by the voters this fall, I don't know, but they're aggressively repairing their roads or trying to keep those up to standards, too.
Okay. All right. Anything else for committee reports? Before we jump into the time clock discussion, I'm going to move a little bit forward on the agenda, an item that we've moved back. It has to do with the Cemetery Association request. And I'm going to ask for a motion to approve or disapprove a resolution number
14-28
on the request from Dan Crawford for special use permit number 2014-3 to reinstate a cemetery that was previously abandoned or deemed a pioneer cemetery located in the southeast quarter of Section 6 in Lincoln Township, known as Sparks Cemetery. This says Stark, but it's Sparks Cemetery. A motion to approve or disapprove?
Move to approve.
Moved by Lytle.
Second.
Seconded by Juergens. Discussion. This is, I'll just start right off. We had this as part of the planning and zoning. We had a public hearing. We've had several weeks. We do have both Crawford's and Jenny Bollmeyer here from Senator Wallman's office. And I will say, as we brought this to Jenny, she did a wonderful job, her and Norm Wallman's office, about navigating the legislative process and talking to who needed to be talked to, running it through legal to make sure everything was correct. And there has been some feedback from some other counties wanting to know how this can get done. It's probably going to be a low-volume issue. It's a local control issue. It'll come before every county board for approval. I don't see it being a windfall or some sort of watershed that's going to open up the doors. But I think it's a good opportunity to again, turn over a private use back to a private entity. So if there's any questions of Jenny, if you want to come speak on behalf or say anything about that at all, or just hide behind the sheriff, so I can't see you.
Matt, thank you for bringing this to us. My 17 years being at the legislature and four senators, this was one of those personal bills. So thank you for moving forward with this. I was a pain in the speaker's side trying to get this on the agenda, and we got it through in 1 year, and I'm really proud of the legislature and all the work they did, and just glad that we could do something. So thank you for coming to us, though, instead of just thanks.
Look at both Crawfords out there, and I don't know which one to call Mr. and which one to call Junior, because you're both getting up there in age. But as I look at my friend Dan, but would you like to speak on behalf of this at all? Because I know this is kind of a personal family issue here, so if you'd like to. Well, it's nice to put a personal touch to some of the things we do.
Well, it has been a long haul, but I hope you guys approve it. We have a lot of work we want to get done, and hopefully a year from now you guys drive by that and you'll go, wow, it's really a good addition, and they've really made some improvements. And, you know, you could walk through that cemetery, and it's kind of neat to see some of the old stuff. So we want to preserve what we have, but bring it up to something new that we can be proud of. Because you drive by and these cemeteries, it's kind of sad to see them falling apart. And hopefully more people get on board and decide to say, let's preserve our past and make it something unique again and something special. So hopefully you guys approve it, because we got a lot of work we want to try to get done yet this fall. So, but otherwise, thank you.
Tracy, you want to know any questions? Yes, Terry.
Matt, along with this, there's a cemetery in my area that ever since I got on the board, there's a gentleman that asked about this and is persistent about wanting to be buried in this old cemetery. So this gives him the avenue to go that direction now. So that's a positive as far as I'm concerned.
Still laws that have to be followed that are set forth by the state of Nebraska for cemetery associations, but following those guidelines, this is an opportunity for some of those to be reinvigorated. Yep. All right, we have a motion and a second. If there's no, did you?
No, but just so I understand this, but if you know, the Crawfords basically undertook this, and then they followed the guidelines once it was approved by the state. But if somebody else wants to do that, there is a set of guidelines they still have to follow, and it's not. I don't know how else to say it. It's not a 1 month thing. It's going to take a process because you need to go through the zoning and all of that. But the avenue is out there for people to do that now. But if there's people interested, don't just think you're going to do it in a month because so-and-so wants to be buried there. It's something that you need to get on and plan ahead and do it. So
this will be the first one in the state that we're approving today.
And speaking of zoning, I think Lisa sent an email this morning that she was unable to be here, but she hasn't had any negative responses come to her on this issue in the last couple weeks, so appeared like she was ready, you know, good to go with it as far as P&Z goes.
I have a motion and a second. If there's no further discussion, vote 7-0 to approve. Get to work, Dan.
Yeah, I gotta go. Thanks.
All right, we'll go back to the top of the agenda here, and we'll start the discussion on time clocks. And Myron, I'll just turn that over.
Well, we had the individuals here last time from MIPS and stuff, when we had the discussion about it a little bit. And basically then when we got to Finance Committee, I brought it up again, and we had the discussion where do we want to go and what avenue. And I brought an idea forward that maybe we need, and I can't remember his name, but we need him back down here for the Finance Committee, and we have a discussion and we decide. I guess I'd just kind of like to know the feeling of the board if we should go ahead and develop a plan, and yes, we're going to have time clocks or not, and what type of time clocks, and where we're going to put those all. And then once we get that all decided and we kind of had an idea on cost the other time, then we come back to the board for approval, yes or no, this is how we want to go. And I guess I wanted this on here for discussion, so what is the feeling of the board? If everybody's adamantly against time clocks, we're not going to pursue it any farther. But if generally, and I kind of have an idea, I think, how everybody feels, but I'm not sure. And so I had Don put this on there so we could have discussion today. If so, then my thought is our next Finance Committee will have the guy from MIPS down again, and then we'll just go through and decide, does the courthouse need 1, 2, 5 time clocks? And also on this aspect, Gus, one thing we had in our sheriff's committee meeting, Gus said the time clock over there, they last so long, and they're getting to the end of the useful life on that one. And he would like to know what direction we're going before he buys a new one to replace that, because if we could incorporate this all through the MIPS program, then we'd get the time clock for that through that instead of him going out and buying one and then 6 months later that's not the one we kind of wanted or whatever, it didn't work or something. So,
Myron, I think this is one thing through the payroll and everything else will make it more efficient. I think it'll save the county money by doing this, and efficiency is the big key to me. It's going to be some time saved, I think, in the clerk's office is what I understand. So I think it's probably a positive thing to do.
I guess I think more than the time saved for us is the capability of getting the other departments their information to us in the time that they need to do it, because they're struggling. Some of them are struggling with the time frame we have. And like I told Finance Committee Monday, it doesn't matter to me whether you go with time clocks or not. The other option is to back people up another week so we're a full pay period behind. And I know in discussions with the Sheriff's Department, that would help them if they're an actual full pay period behind. So it doesn't matter to me which way you go, but that would make the difference on people being able to get things calculated.
And backing up a full week would be a kind of a difficult process in itself.
Well, it would be a hardship for the employees. We could do it, and we could do it possibly, since we're 1 week in arrears, we could possibly do it one day each pay period, so it would be a minimal amount, but it's still, yeah, it's going to affect your paycheck.
Yep.
So I guess in hindsight, when we went in arrears, we probably should have took the full pay period, but we went
1 week.
And now with this new bill passing, where all the counties are having to do this, they are doing a pay period, and that's the process they're using, whether it's once a month or every 2 weeks. So
we have some of our elected officials here. Do you have there any comments relative to the issues as far as assessor, treasurer, highway? Any,
the only comment I would make is I've got three professionals that basically don't punch time clocks. And I'll give you an example this weekend. They probably put in a whole week's worth of work getting ready for a trial. Now, I keep track of that stuff. That's my responsibility to the taxpayers. I'm not putting them on a time clock. And I'm not being bullheaded about it. I just hope, you know, there's different views on whether they're exempt or not. I don't, you know, that's semantics. The county's getting the best bang for the buck on that, quite frankly. And I just don't want to revisit that issue for the umpteenth time. And that's all I'm saying. The rest of my employees, we keep track of that. You know, they're very, you know, whenever Don says turn it in, we try and get this stuff done. But I just wanted the board to know that's one of those that, you know, when you have a professional like that, and I don't know if there's any other employees in the county that would be similar to that.
So we just have, if you do the time clock yourself, but your employees don't, that'd be okay, right?
Well, I'm being honest with the group here.
I know you are. I know.
These people are putting in more than 40 hours. I can tell you that, and I shouldn't say it on the record because, damn it, if the Department of Labor comes after us, you know. But on the same token,
they don't stop.
I'm just being honest with the group, though.
They are exempt.
You know, I want you to understand that. I mean, if you see one of my people leave at 4:30, they may have been here at 6:30.
I see your employees here at 9 or 9:30 at night.
Well, but I just wanted
and at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Sometimes. Like I said, it varies. When you're in trial mode, everything else is, you know, become secondary, and you take care of that. So I just wanted to be aware. It just doesn't lend itself to a time clock, because then I'm going to have to adjust my budget. And for the taxpayers, I can assure them I'm getting at least 40 hours a week out of every one of those folks.
Aren't they exempt anyway, being professional?
Yes.
They are. They're
well, it depends on what side of the fence Norma wakes up on in the morning.
Well, yeah, they're exempt. And I think that the reason it should be stated that the reason that we specifically want to go with this time clock system is because it does tie directly in with our payroll system. And that's why we don't, if we're going to do this, it would be better to do it before Gus goes and buys the time clock. If possible, I mean, not that you want to rush into a decision, but I think that there's been a lot of talk for the last 4 years about a time clock, and I think it's high time we do it.
I think we should probably proceed forward and getting more information and involve the folks here in the courthouse and the folks who are going to be using that, administer that, and keep them in the loop. We're not going to be punching it, but I think we're trying to put a system in place, so we can involve those people.
We'll have Don visit with him, see if he can come down at our next committee meeting. If not, we'll just set up a finance meeting, and then we'll start the process so that we can come up with a package for Gage County, and then bring that back to the board. But this might take more than 2 weeks or a month. I don't know. Depends on how many meetings. And then I think it's also important we visit with probably Julie over there, or Gus and Julie over there, so that some of these. I mean, our county won't have special things. So that we can make sure it fits everybody and not just, like, you know, leave the turn. So it'll work for the attorney's office the way we need it to and everything, and not just blanket everybody's 100% and this is your little policy. Because some of this conversation you had was, too, we'll actually need to set up procedures or protocols because some of them have had issues where, not issues, they brought up where somebody didn't do something right. How do you administer, not penalties or fines or what, you know, you do this wrong or you get caught doing this, it's for dismissal or stuff like that, you know, I mean, and we don't have that now. And I know maybe we'll have to see if we can get something from MIPS or something else, somebody from one of the other counties to start that process even so that we have guidelines or I don't know what the word is, right word is, so that protocol that will be followed and
you know
some of the consequences of not following it and stuff. So we'll start working on that then.
Myron. Also, every time the time clock discussion has been brought up, then it comes up that, well, in my department, not everybody reports to the office to clock in or out. Well, the sheriff's office has had a time clock for, 16 to 20 years, and they have dealt with this and come up with ways to get people clocked in and out accurately. And so I think that it can be adapted to other departments.
I was going to stand silent, but being Kathy brought it up, I guess. It seems like for every negative that anybody's brought up over the last 3 years when we've discussed this, for any negative about this time clock system, to me, the handwritten paper and pen type system is more negative on all of those negatives than moving forward with a piece of equipment that's going to update our process. So I think you need to go quickly forward, Myron. Yes.
Quickly. Okay.
All right. Any more discussion on time clocks? Well, let's talk to the public defender, Stephanie Clark.
Good morning. Start around some handouts. First quarter. Second quarter. As I was looking at, just happened to be looking at third quarter this morning before I came up, and as I was doing that, Amanda was telling me, we got 11 new cases yesterday. So it can, one day or 2 days of court can change your numbers overall pretty quickly. And it appears that still 2008 was the all-time high as far as number of cases. It has come back down since then, but not by that much. I think it reflects overall just a general trend, unfortunately, of more people being involved in the court systems. We raised, as the board knows, our felony. We have a limit on the number of felonies that our office will handle. We raised that from 35 to 40. Now, that's not per year. That's at any given time. So once we raised that cap from 35 to 40, within 3 weeks we were at 40. So, and I think we're at 38 as of this morning. But it seems like we'll get to that cap. We'll be under it for maybe 3 weeks, and then we're back there again. And I know you had mentioned additional claims from, I'm assuming from other attorneys. Yeah. If my office has 2 people or 10 people, we still can't handle those conflict cases. Okay. There's, I guess, the best way that I would describe it, and I think hopefully if Roger has a better comparison, he can throw it out there. But there's about maybe 8% of the population of Gage County that makes up about 90% of the clientele that we see. They're also usually the witnesses in those cases. or even though they're a witness in one case, there may be a defendant in another case, or they've got a juvenile case going. So we get a lot of attorneys involved with a small percentage of our population, but that's the population that we see the most of in court. And it's not if we represented that conflict person a month ago, it's if we represent that conflict person right now. If they have an open case, we have to pass it. We will always keep the felony case or the most serious felony case if we're in a situation where we get two at the same time. But if we get one first and then we get the other one second, we have to keep the first one. When you get juvenile cases, you're going to have at least two other attorneys involved, if not three. And I wish I could come up with a way to fix the system. I mean, with another attorney, we could probably raise that felony cap, but I think where you're probably really seeing the extra is the conflict cases. There was a time in the past where the board had considered doing a secondary public defender, where if we have a conflict, you have a contract with another attorney or another attorney's office, and they take those conflict cases for a set amount every month. And that might be, I don't know what kind of expense you're seeing monthly. That might help with those conflicts.
Let me stop you just for a minute, uh-huh. Steph. We explained to the board what a conflict case is. You know, okay. You talk in lawyer's terms,
okay.
And
a lot of those things
we don't understand.
Okay. My client, Joe, is accused of beating up Bill. So I'm representing Joe, and I can't represent Bill when Bill gets picked up for DUI because Bill's going to be testifying against Joe. And then also, you know, Bill's girlfriend, Jenny, is going to be testifying against him, too. And she's got a juvenile case where her child was taken from her. I can't represent her in that juvenile case. Now, I could still be involved in the juvenile case probably as guardian ad litem, but I couldn't represent her. So because of that one case, I can't represent any of those witnesses either.
Okay. Can a private attorney of... If Jenny walks in because she has this issue with Joe, and then Joe walks in because he wants to be represented for his DUI, and can they represent each one of them on
no.
different cases that
not
it's conflict
not
them
supposed
also?
To.
Okay.
Not supposed to. You should probably get a written conflict waiver if you do.
Okay.
But basically, you cannot be in a position where you're cross-examining your own witness. So if I was sure that Jenny was going to be on my side, or on Joe's side in that case, I could probably get by with representing her. But then if they have a fight and she turns against him, I'm probably out of both cases.
Okay, I see.
So the conflicts, I know Lancaster County Public Defender's Office has to deal with it too, and I think they've got 20 attorneys. But if your office has a conflict, the conflict covers both attorneys. So I can't say, well, I'll take this person and we'll give Lee this person. If it's a conflict for me, it's a conflict for the whole office because he's my employee now, but we are in the same office and we share staff and we share information. So it's for the entire office. So like I said, if I had a dozen attorneys, the conflict would still be a conflict. And I'm sure you are seeing the felony claims too, because we're at 40, and that's with Lee having probably 25 open cases and me having 15.
I mentioned something this morning to Myron. I know we've had some claims here recently that you're going to see a spike, and that Myron specifically asked me about that. And quite frankly, that arose, some attorneys aren't as good about getting their bills sent in on a timely fashion. And again, that's most of the time you'd think you'd want to submit a bill to get paid to keep your office open. But for whatever reason it wasn't. So all of a sudden, I know this because I've had the judges contact because I'm supposed to review these. and a couple of these went back even 2010 and 2011.
So, oh, wow.
If you submit 3 years of billing in the case, and I'm not saying anything about them doing the work, they just didn't get it turned in. You know, you keep a fairly consistent line that you guys see as a number every each month. All of a sudden you get this spike, like, what in the heavens? I think that's added to it, because I do know there's been, I probably looked at 7 or 8, and they're fairly significant claims. I would just add, I think we're fortunate in Gage County. We've got some private attorneys that do a good job, do an excellent job, taking cases that either Steph and her office can't handle because of the conflicts she's explained, or because we have co-defendants. A lot of times when you have drug cases, you end up with 5, 6 co-defendants. And obviously you can't have, you know, who does she represent to get the first one up there to see if we can, you know, be a witness for the state or something. I think they're very reasonable in their fees. They get paid $80 an hour, which, quite frankly, is about half their usual rate. The bar in Gage County, for as long as I know, has always been good about doing that public service. You know, I know in Lancaster they also have, but they do it on contract. You know, they have, like in the juvenile area, I think there's like 6 firms that basically, if the public defender's office can't take them, then they refer them, they rotate on those 6 contracts. In a way, we kind of do the same thing. It's just that we have other private counsel that's agreed to work in those areas. And I hopefully it'll level off, because I know the judges are going to talk to those firms and say, can you please submit them fairly timely so that we don't have these big spikes? Because it causes everybody concern. I understand that.
No, at finance, I'll just bring up a little bit. We had a little discussion because the last 3 pay claim periods here, we had one claim, and this is me adding up what I think is, it's outside attorneys and what I think is, looking at the claims, what they should be. We had one claim of $10,000, over $10,000, not one claim, one pay period of over $10,000, one of $2,500, and another one of over $16,000. But there again, visiting with Roger, I know one of those claims was from some office for $7,000, another one was $5,000 or something. So, you know, he's explained some of it now why, and this discussion here too has explained some why. But when I went back and looked at some of the others going back to July, I looked at one in July even, and we were normally between $1,800 and $3,500 in that range for a pay period or whatever, and that might be 3, 4, 5, or 6 different attorney's offices, so it's not just one. And then that brought to the discussion, we see your volume of work. Are we as a county at the point where we need to look at, would it be cheaper, more economical to, I don't know, have another office as part-time or something? I don't know. That's why. And then Don said, well, you're going to be here today, and I says, great. And this really helps that you explain right. This and Rogers explain this. But in 3 pay periods, when we see like $28,000 worth of claims, then you go, oh man, paying.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. But
and that's for not anywhere near the volume that we do.
I know.
But when you get a case that goes to trial, you have a jury trial, you know, you might see a $10,000 claim for something like that, but the way that you could probably protect yourself from some of that, I mean, some of it would be to do a secondary public defender's office who takes X number over our 40. Say they agree to take 10 or 12 or whatever number they would be comfortable with, and our conflicts. There's still going to be some other, because I guess fortunately overall, the people we usually see, we see over and over again, and it's a small percentage of the population of the county, but it's what causes the court system and our office and Roger's office most of their work.
Do we have any ability? We did at one time, I thought, have an ability to place a lien against these individuals as far as repaying?
The judge has that ability. The judge has that by statute, the judge can order them if they have the ability to pay counsel. He can order them to do that. But there is also a statute that prohibits the public defender from inquiring into their financial state once we are appointed. So that is, the judge has that authority. We are not allowed to do that.
Are the judges doing that?
I have seen it in my career. I have not seen it lately. I have not seen it often.
Okay. Mr. County Attorney, can you have a discussion with our judges relative to that issue?
No. Well, and I don't mean to be facetious, but...
I know the situation.
For instance, the way it happens, Denny, is the person comes in, we read the charge, the judge has advised them of their rights, he asks them, do you want to have an attorney represent you? And if they say, yeah, I want one, okay, and now can you afford an attorney? Because, again, they have constitutional rights. And if they say, no, I can't afford one, then the prosecutor will ask them questions about their finances. Usually they're going to get court-appointed counsel.
And they only get court-appointed counsel if there's a jail sentence possible in their particular case.
Oh, okay. Sometimes
so we don't have people, or if Roger doesn't think it's a Roger's office doesn't think it's serious enough to warrant jail time, he waives jail time, we don't get appointed. So we're not, these are not people that we're representing who have speeding tickets, and these people are all looking at either jail time or the possibility of their kids getting taken by the state.
I remember back when I was a justice of the peace years ago, I even used to ask the defendants if they wanted a jury trial, and, you know, back in the old days.
Well,
they paid $4 cost for the case.
When I started, I did this by myself for a few years. I mean, it was about all I did, but I did it by myself.
Okay, and you do a good job.
Well, we try to take the most serious case. We try to keep the felony over the misdemeanor. We've even been one or two over on the cap when we know we're going to be getting rid of somebody. We've got a sentencing coming up or a drug court sentencing. Those don't take as much time. I'll sometimes keep one of those, but once we are below the cap, it's maybe 3 weeks and we're right back up.
Did I misunderstand it? But did you state that 2 to 3 lawyers per case? Is that what you said?
On juvenile cases, you will definitely have, you will always have the county attorney and usually two additional ones. You'll have a guardian ad litem, and then you'll have an attorney for the parents. And if we can represent both parents, we do. But if the parents aren't getting along and they're blaming each other for the problem, then they each get an attorney. So then we can have,
Oh, yeah. Sometimes it's a bar meeting whenever we have a hearing, to be quite frank. That's control. And I think the judges and this district try to, they're sensitive to this, too. They know it all costs money. But they got to be careful about it.
That's why they give us usually the most labor-intensive client, typically.
Now, is this any juvenile case, or is it just the ones that involve custody?
We do not do any sort of custody cases in district court, any custody disputes between parents. We are only involved when the state of Nebraska has intervened for the welfare of the child and removed the child from the parent's home or is looking at removing the child from the parent's home due to a fault of the parents or due to a fault that isn't something the parents can control. If the child has issues of some sort, medical issues, mental health issues, we do not do any actual custody cases. I used the term custody, I guess, because the state can take custody of the children.
Yeah, and no. I guess I was referring to when the state takes custody versus a juvenile case that doesn't involve that. You know,
sometimes we have a juvenile case where a kid gets an MIP, minor in possession of alcohol. That's one county attorney and us. Okay. So not all of them require as many attorneys, but when you're looking at those juvenile cases that do require all of those attorneys, that's because the it's always possible that those parents' parental rights could be terminated, and the state wants to make sure there are a lot of safety valves and things in there to make sure that if someone's rights are terminated on appeal, it doesn't get sent back to us.
I've got a question. Yes. And I'm sorry, this is not really for you. This is more finance. It doesn't really have to do with your report. Mm-hmm. But I believe the county has a policy or stating that all claims must be submitted within 90 days. So I'm not sure why we're having this discussion over bills from 2010 and 2011.
Roger can answer that. I'm assuming most of these aren't, but some of them.
Yeah, specifically, it's when the work's done, when it's finished, when is it finished? Okay. Now, again, protocol-wise, from an office standpoint, you want to be timely in submitting so you can keep your income flow to cover your expenses. Okay. So if somebody doesn't do that, that doesn't mean it's wrong. Yeah, for instance, the one I'm very familiar with, in fact, I've been reviewing that one, it has been an ongoing case for 3 years. And unfortunately, with juvenile cases, that happens once in a while. So probably could not kick that out on the statutory, and that's statutory. That's not just your policy. Your policy reflects the statute. And we've had some claims, quite frankly, that we've... At least Donna caught them, and I looked at them and recommended it. Sorry, you can't. Now, there's circumstances you can look at, and even under the statute, there's circumstances that are, you can look at. Like I said, on some of these things, in each case we're going to have to look at, and that's why I think if you wait that long, that also creates a problem for review. And that's part of why we want timely claims. So if there is something that, whoa, there's a problem with this, we can get back to the vendor or whoever submitted the claim and say, you need to fix this. Come back. And then we'll be more than happy to take care of it. If it's 3 years since they did the work, it's a little tough to do. So, but that's, again, we've looked at that. And there may be some other ones come down the pike. Hopefully, after the judges talk to them, they will be more timely. You guys will not see these big spikes and get back to some normalcy. You're still going to have spikes. And I know it used to be when the Seed Task Force was working, you could tell when the drug cases kind of all come to an end, because there'd be anywhere from 4 to 5 outside counsel would be submitting their bills. And, you know, those are cases, sometimes you can get them resolved. Sometimes they want to roll their dice in a jury trial. And then a lot of the expense that you see is not, it's just the attorneys, but you also have the jurors, all the court staff time, our time. So, again, short answer to your question, yeah, we look at that. And if it's deleterious for some reason, Don catches it.
So we'll just keep doing what we're doing. Just keep plugging away. If Roger and his office wanted to take a week off, kind of let things settle down, maybe send them on a little vacation, let us catch up.
Thank you for the explanation and stuff, because when
no
we
problem.
Look at bills, we don't know all of this stuff, and we just go, oh, boy.
Yeah, you see a bill for $10,000, I don't blame you.
No, we didn't have a bill for $10,000, but a pay period. You know, we always have somewhere between 4, 5, 6 different attorneys turn in claims, and it's some of them you see the name about every pay period almost. Yeah. I mean, it's almost, you know, which is good. But then some of them and visit with Roger when we see a really big one, and then there's an explanation, you know, and stuff. But in 3 pay periods total, there to have $25,000, we can't maintain that pace. Let's put it that way. But you know, we realize that. Because of the system, we will have additional claims, and that's why the question was, do we need to do something different? But after the conversation between you and Roger and everybody else here today, I think I'm okay with what we're doing yet and stuff, so handling it this way. But at the same time, it's something we keep looking at.
Well, the probably the next step, if it continued to be a trend, would be to look at a secondary office that you pay a set amount, and they would take our conflicts and whatever number of felonies you negotiated with them to take.
Well, but that's something I didn't want to have this discussion June 15th or July 15th right before budget either. And then we tried it, because I don't like trying to decide the last minute we're going to add another part-time deal or whatever. But we'll keep watching it, and if, you know, enough things show up, then we'll have another discussion.
Well, the other thing I'll just add real quickly, there's not everybody will accept these court appointments. Sometimes because they're very busy with their own private practice, they don't really care about doing that kind of work, or they don't. Not everybody does criminal work or wants to. So you're seeing a lot of repetition with names, because those folks have indicated to the judges they will accept them. And the judge basically does a rotation with them. I mean, for instance, guardian ad litem, he's got probably two people that he likes. They like to do guardian ad litem work. They do very well at it. And so they tend to get all the guardian ad litem appointments. And then juvenile court is an entity of its own. You really can't just be a general practitioner and walk into juvenile court, because it's changed so much in the last 2 years. And so you, again, now you've, it's almost a specialty, and some attorneys would not even want to be appointed. So that's kind of why you see the same name sometimes.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
I'd like to make a motion to place on file the public defender's report.
Moved by Lytle.
Second.
Second by Dorn.
Vote.
7-0. Place it on file. Let's listen to Glynis. Engage. You've listened intently this morning. There'll be a quiz tomorrow. Do you remember everything?
Okay, good morning, everyone. I did bring some extra handouts, if you will. I made, I don't know how many I asked, but I made copies especially for the supervisor. So if you would take those, and then the rest could be divided. And I'll be glad to give you guys more if you'd like. So, all right. This is my second quarterly report to you, and it is July through September activities, and I believe you have a copy of the report. Is that right, Dawn? They've got that. So good. There's quite a bit on the report, trying to explain to you some of the activities and things that I've done with Engage, or what we've been involved with over the last, for the prior quarter, I guess. And I'm not sure, I didn't look back at the format that I gave that to you last time, but I tried to provide to you activity lists, information that fit with our objectives. There are 7 objectives with the work of Engage, and so it just kind of goes down the list, and on occasion you'll see where there's some duplications. Sometimes it's just a matter of, where do I put this activity, where does it belong? So there's a few things you'll see sort of duplicated there, but you know, the first objective is to design an economic development organization that works, you know, locally and regionally, and we work collaboratively with many. And so I've tried to describe to you some of the things that we've done over that period. And I think in particular it's important to note that you know, I have been involved with, I might have mentioned it before, but I think it's a really good thing that we're part of the Lincoln area development, and we do pay a membership to them, and we get benefits back from that in that activities. We've been invited to some of their activities. I will be attending a trade show. I haven't done one of those yet, but I'll be doing one of those in mid-November. That is a FabTech, fabrication technology. So a lot of our companies here that relate to that particular type of work and business. I'll learn a lot. I guess it's a huge show. It's in Atlanta. Nebraska Public Power is helping to sponsor us there, as well as, you know, get our memberships with LAD, you know, help with that too. Also, the the Department of Economic Development, Daisha Cruz is the acting director. Catherine Lang left a few months ago, and I had an opportunity to meet Daisha. I invited her down to speak to her to a manufacturing event that we had a luncheon to kind of recognize the manufacturing folks here. And she was called away that day. It was kind of a big day because a lot of folks were doing activities that day across the state, and I'm not sure exactly what she was called away for, but she ended up not coming. We had Laura Husky come to our luncheon and spoke to the manufacturers and the folks that were there, and so that was good. But as far as relationships go with Department of Economic Development, our resource providers, Nebraska Public Power, Black Hills, that's all really good. I really feel like I can call on them. I can ask them questions. They're very helpful. So that's really been a key for them to, you know that I'm here, know that we're serious about what we want to do with economic development. And so, you know, relationships are important in this thing, and that's true. You've probably heard in the news about the marketing effort that Beatrice Public Schools brought to us. They were planning a strategic plan for marketing and wanted to involve others in the community, including Engage, the Chamber, Main Street, and so on, and the city. And so there was some discussion about that, and I think it was fairly timely for us. We hadn't, as Engage, really done a major look into our marketing efforts, and so I think we're going to work with this group and try to, I guess the idea is to sort of talk in sort of common terms, kind of have the same sort of message about what this community and this area is about, because it's not only about, you know, marketing and having that people understand what we're doing with Engage, but also what the external community, the country, you know, thinks about Gage County, Nebraska, and Beatrice. So our board had really good discussion about that and said that, yes, we'd like to commit to working on that, and so that's, you know, sort of underway. I think the Chamber and Main Street and all are planning to participate, and so I think that'll be really good. And again, one of my concerns was, you know, as far as was that it shouldn't just be something that the city of Beatrice, you know, in they will be very involved in it, but from Engage's point of view, it has to sort of entail what we're doing as the county and the area here. So that'll be, I think it'll be really a big help to us to go that route. Of course,
I just want to mention, Glennis, too, we haven't been asked to participate on that carney. We are in the action committee, but on that new group, I see that everybody else is in there, but the county is not.
Oh, okay. For the marketing?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that they're looking at it, you know, that I would probably, as Engage, help with that. But that's, you know, I guess that's a good question.
It really is. And I notice it every time I watch the news media and I see that there's a meeting happening and the school board is starting this and we're doing this, and this. But
I think it started off, you know, as the Beatrice community. And that was part of the discussion, I think, that our board had, was that I think if they can see that there's some really positive efforts and things going on with Beatrice, we have a positive marketing campaign, that what helps Beatrice be strong kind of radiates out to the county. And so
they ask us to pay for all of that.
Mm-hmm.
We share.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
We should share as part of the conversation. Am I wrong, everybody, or is that
right? There's a lot of people that live in the rural areas that send their kids to public schools.
Exactly. So I guess in a sense I would say that Engage is kind of representing a little part of that. So, and it is something that I paid attention to, that it's not just about Beatrice, but it's about the whole county. So thanks for those comments. Anyway. All right. So then as far as meeting with businesses, it's been really good, a very positive feedback with businesses that I've met with. That's kind of a challenge. You can see there's a lot that's going on. I'm trying to do a lot, and there's still businesses that I need to meet with, but we have engaged with the Synchronous System, which is a database where after I go out and visit and I try to accumulate employment information or issues that they're having, we come back and we put it into a Synchronous database. And that, again, is provided through our partnership with Lincoln Area Development. development. So we don't have to pay for that separately. It comes through that. So that's going on. It's an ongoing process to meet with the businesses, try to, as we talk about, pay attention to what's going on with who we already have, and hopefully help them sustain and stay and grow, and that's part of it. So retention and expansion of Gage County businesses, and also growth in small business and entrepreneurial work. I did provide to you a copy of, we're working on a draft copy of Beatrice/Gage County ECAP Discovery Tool. And that ECAP stands for Entrepreneurial Communities Activation Process. And so I think sometimes you have to sort of step back and look at the needs. What are folks saying that this community, this area needs to really, I guess the idea comes back to what is needed to support small business and entrepreneurial type work here. And so this, we were selected, we're the eighth community to be selected to work with the University of Nebraska Extension folks that have engaged in this. And I don't know if you're familiar with the Nebraska Rural Poll, but Becky Vogt, who works with that rural poll, has been helping us with this tool. And we're just developing the tool. We've got some folks that have been involved in and review and input. I've met with an economic group, Economic Development Committee, if you will, in Wymore, and have shared this with them. I met with the Odell mayor the other day and said, you know, I'd like for you to get this out to your council folks if there are issues that are priorities, some things that, you know, you'd like to look at and get some feedback on. We could include it in the tool. I still need to work in the next few weeks with some of the other communities and get it to some of their leaders and ask them or let them know about it. But this is, it's called a discovery tool, but it's survey. They said people don't like surveys, so we're calling it a discovery tool. And it'll be launched January 5th through the 16th, and it's an online tool. It's not, we hope people take it online and not necessarily want to do paper, but we understand some folks are going to want paper copies to do. But as far as manpower getting these things entered, you can see it's a fairly good length. But it's an online, we'll have online links, and we'd like for any assistance, any and all assistance to get information out across the county for folks to take part in this discovery tool. And then we'll have some meetings to hash over what we've learned, I know there'll be a lot of work on it here in Beatrice, but also I'll try to meet with the other communities and we'll discuss what feedback we give. So if you notice, the first couple pages of that is really sort of the canned questions that have to do with ECAP, the Entrepreneurial Communities Process. So we're not changing those questions any. And again, those are open. Anybody can take this survey and you know, give their feedback. Page 4 we're working on is a Beatrice focus discovery tool. These are questions that pertain a lot to Beatrice and that group and what they came up with. It goes on to number 5. And then we started to look at some more generic, small business or small community issues. Thayer County is currently doing this now, and as you know, a lot of their communities are similar size to what we have here outside of Beatrice. And so, what they were looking at for issues, projects, things really was a good list and helpful to us. So, if you look down page 5 and page 6, I'm still taking comments and adding some things onto those, but you'll see that number 9 in particular, how would you prioritize the following items in your community? So it's kind of open for anybody to answer. Anybody can take the survey. Even Wymore residents may want to comment on the Beatrice list, okay? Odell, you know, all of these folks, okay? Anybody can, because if you go towards the back, we ask them, okay, which community do you most closely identify with? So it might be somebody that lives in Odell, but they identify with Beatrice. You know, they're here a lot, you know. And that's fine, or vice versa. But we want to separate out, so who's addressing these questions? And so which community do you identify with? Which community do you live in? And where do you work? So I think overall we should get some really good information from this. I know I'm not the expert as far as deciphering what's what with this, but we do have experts with the university helping us in this process. So hopefully we have good information, and I wanted you to all be aware, and we are taking comments and information about this right now, and so I'm trying to get it out there for folks to see and to reflect on. So it is kind of stepping back, taking a look at needs, looking at what folks, what their perceptions are, and see what we can do with those going forward. So I have a lot of work to do in 2015 related to all of this, right?
The question is, I look at 16, 17, 18. I don't see Wymore in anyone.
Wymore is, that is a typo. I have it on my notes. Yeah, thanks. we don't want to leave them off. So, yep, exactly. Mm-hmm. Thanks for catching that.
Yeah, you got Blue Springs.
Yeah, Blue Springs is on there.
But they're not the same.
So, okay. Back to my report, and I would really like to address any of your questions on it. We did work on recertification of economic development for Beatrice's, and I think that's important to have that designation. I think you get the state and others look more closely at those communities that are certified. We did get a response back, so I'm working on a response back on that. They said they never approved those the first time through, so we're doing some work to get back to them next week. But it was really helpful for me to take a look at, and kind of grab some of the numbers that we're in some of our systems, some of the data. There's information all over about, who are our major employers and all that kind of thing. And, of course, I think, too, I think it speaks to the fact that small businesses and helping those folks develop and grow is important. As I looked at roughly a 2010 to 2014 time period, we had three new manufacturers in this area that I was able to come across. And we had 77 new jobs represented from those companies. We went through what the chamber had done with ribbon cuttings for new. They do a lot of ribbon cutting. Sometimes there are when folks do renovations or something's happened, they'll do a ribbon cutting. But this is, we went through the list of how many had been done that were new businesses, and we had 49, and 142 jobs were attributed to those businesses. So as I added up the numbers of who's come and gone, we lost Husqvarna, even including the Storecraft lost here lately, we still had a positive net jobs number for that 4-year period. And that is include those small businesses. So it was really good for me at this point in time, being new in this, to sort of see where those numbers are, and we can look and see how things, go from here. So I hope to say in, 4 or 5 years from now that we've had at least that many new businesses, and some of those businesses have done even better and have grown their employment base from here. So, okay. So I know you probably have lots of questions, and I'm willing to, of course, want to answer whatever you see. Good to know.
I just make a comment on just what you talked about there. A lot of times we, and unfortunately, Gage County or Beatrice has had some closings of some major big manufacturing, but I think it shows that the new businesses, all the new businesses that have opened in the last 4 years and the jobs that a lot of the smaller ones have created, and what that does to the county and how that helps the county. When you see a Storecraft or something close, everybody sees that, and you see the number of jobs there and how that's affected. But there are a lot of other things going on besides the Storecraft type things and stuff. So, and they have a lot of positive effect on the county.
Right. And of course, that closure happened in October, so it really wasn't part of that quarterly report. There's been some activity around that. We did send off a couple letters to a couple different groups for about 350 actual contacts to say, hey, we have a workforce available here, and we do have buildings available. So it was an opportunity to do that. I had a chance to talk to the employees with Storecraft, and also talked to them about, well, what if any of you are interested in starting a business? We can be a resource. I can help connect you to resources, because there's some talented people that were there, and they may have the interest in doing that. Also the fact that I think the number one issue, as I'll probably continue to to preach on this, but workforce is a number one issue, really, with economic development. So, again, by sending out a note to folks across the region to say, hey, you know, now might be a good time to look at what we've got going here. We've got, you know, that was a loyal, very dedicated workforce. And I know they'd like to stay together. You know, it all kind of depends on their skill sets and so on. But I told them, I said, you know, workforce is key, and there should be opportunities for them, and also encourage them if they could stay here. We don't want to lose them. We don't want them to move away. But, you know, obviously they have to go where those opportunities are and so on. So, okay.
I'm going to compliment you for meeting with them and reaching out and saying, what can we do to help you, and what can you do with us? And let's have a partnership.
And I have to give credit. Department of Labor, Workforce Development folks have been wonderful. Karen called me when she heard that, because they had told them finally that they were closing. And so I was really grateful that she had alerted me to that. And they've done a lot of work with these folks. And that's where, you know, we're really blessed to have them here. And, you know, it's a good connection to have for me as well. I also shared with you that there is an effort with the university on Rural Futures Institute, and there was a Nebraska City Forum just recently. They're gathering information, and there was actually a survey that was done. And you might have seen that survey, actually. And the results of that are on page 4, Themes from Eastern Nebraska Forum Survey. Okay, so I think you'll see that the issues that Gage County and our area has as far as economic development are pretty standard across the area. It's not just things that we see going on, but there's information there on page 4. And I found the myths that they talk about here pretty interesting too, in that towns that are too small have no future. I don't think that's true, you know, and they talk about that. One of the speakers, Mylon Wall, who's with the Heartland Center for Leadership, I thought this was really good. And I again, thank you for your support in economic development, because I think you guys have your hearts in the right places with all of this, too. But that community success is a function of what leaders say and do. So, and I, you know, and They were trying to highlight some of the things that were going on in the communities around Nebraska City, and I think we're on the right track, hopefully. So, and I'm open at any time. You have questions, you know, thoughts, concerns, let me know. Okay? Thanks. All right. I could talk to you all day about these things.
That's good.
All right. Take care.
Motion to put it on file?
I'll make a motion to put engage Glennis' report on file.
Second.
Second by Lytle. Vote.
7-0.
On file.
Looked right. Like he was trying to beat me to it, so I figured I was just going to let him have it.
You two separated.
Didn't want to take your...
All right. Approve or disapprove. I need a motion to approve or disapprove resolution for an amendment and addendum to the NERMA/NERMA 2... Intergovernmental interlocal agreements on a commitment to participate in NERMA and NERMA 2 for the period of July 1, 2015.
I would
July
so move
30th,
to approve.
2018. Moved by Byers.
I think the only changes basically are, as the premium costs have been sent down to NERMA, we've had to increase those somewhat, but we've had excellent participation with Gage County, in particular our law enforcement, and some of the issues that we've had with emergency management and some of those things. Do you have anything you'd like to offer? Okay. So I think our relationship is very, very good, and I think we should approve the resolution.
This is resolution number 14-29. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Vote. 7-0 to approve. All right. The next two items kind of go together. We're going to go into a closed session to discuss the security process for the courthouse, so that'll be the primary focus. But also yesterday afternoon, we received a letter regarding some possible litigation, so we're going to add to that a closed session. In that closed session, part of that discussion will be regarding possible litigation that we received yesterday, so this will be an emergency addendum, but those are basically the concepts that we will talk about. Will be the urgency discussion regarding litigation and the security process. I don't know if there will be any action needed for that litigation afterwards. There may be, based on the discussion, but at this point there's nothing on the agenda. But depending on the discussion that we have, something may come out that we have to take action on. But I don't know. We'll have that discussion. We'll find out. But we will start with the security process. And really, I'm hoping that discussion, we may break that up because there is an action item regarding the security process. So just to kind of explain what, we may go to closed session, discuss the security process, come out, vote on it, and then go back into the closed session to discuss this emergency thing that came up just yesterday. So we'll try to split those up to move forward. So, and really the discussion regarding security will go behind closed doors just so that Terry doesn't say something he shouldn't say in public.
I would move we go into closed session for discussion on security process for the courthouse.
Moved by Byers.
Second.
Second by Lytle. Any more discussion? If not, vote.
Who are you going to invite to the closed session?
We'll have the those responsible to the security. Sure. Let's see, everybody except you two. I think pretty much everybody can stay except those two. Sorry, you guys got the microphones. You got to go. but you know the context, and that, so it won't be real long. I don't think we'll see.
Need a motion to come out of closed session at 10:57.
So moved.
Moved by Lytle.
Second.
Second by Byers. Vote. 7-0.
Brett Merritt.
Brian, leave the door open there. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you. All right. Good discussion in closed session regarding security. A little longer than we had anticipated, but sometimes that happens. So now I'm going to call for a motion to approve or disapprove a resolution changing our security process for the courthouse. 14-30 will be the resolution number. Calling for a motion.
Anybody want to make a motion?
Can I ask a question? Okay, that is as proposed with having a separate employee entrance, correct?
Well, as we're, so I'm gonna maybe pause here a little bit, Roger, and pardon my interruption of Robert's rules, but maybe we need to have maybe a statement of the recommendation. There's still a call for resolution out there, but I think there may be a little bit of pause here, maybe fear for anyone to stick their neck out and state it. So maybe we'll just have Gus maybe state the recommendation coming from the sheriff first.
We had it in the packet you received earlier. Let me find it here. We'll just read it out of there. Well, basically what it is, the recommendation was the screening station would be on the first floor. The lower east door and south side doors would be available to the public to come in and funnel into our screening area and then take the stairs, elevator to the rest of the courthouse. 6-month trial basis, see how it works, and then come back to the board at that time and talk about it again. That's basically it in a nutshell. Entrances would be separate on the proposal for the judges and employees to use a different door than those two, unless they wish to do so.
Which door would that be?
Well, that's one of the things I really don't want to discuss because it involved the judges. I can write it down for you, probably. But,
but it would be just one door in the courthouse that they'd be able to fob in, not six.
One, that is correct.
One, okay. Yeah.
Everyone clear on the recommendation? 6-month trial. Judges and employees would have a different fobbing exit and entrance, and the public would funnel into the screening station from the east doors and the south doors. So I still would again call for a resolution regarding the security process the court has 14-30.
I'll make a motion to approve it as recommended by what Gus said, that there'd be a separate entrance for the judges and the employees.
Moved by Dorn. Accept the recommendation of the sheriff. Second.
Motion will die without a second.
I will make a motion that we pass this resolution with the exception, with the change that everybody, including employees and judges, be screened upon entering the building.
So we have a second motion stated by Kathy. I guess that would that be a different resolution number? Since the one's hanging out there, yeah.
No, it's based on your recommend. It's referencing the recommendation. If you tweak the recommendation, she just said how she's going to tweak it, then it'll cover it. It's because it's got the 6 month based on the recommendation.
Your resolution says as a recommendation.
Yeah, I left it generic just in case there were some amendments that came in.
So you're seconding. But you're, no, so yours is still hanging out.
She's got a separate motion. Separate
mine
motion.
Died. Mine died.
Yeah. Yours is not.
Okay. So based on what Kathy is saying, her motion, I need a second.
Yes, I died too.
All right. My concern is we're doing nothing here. Which we've talked about this a lot. I find this a little bit inappropriate that we're not taking action here of some sort. There are identified safety concerns here that we have professionals who have told us about. We obviously have concerns. We obviously are going to get some feedback from the public, both positive and negative. But I think we need to make some sort of decision here today, or we're doing nothing. That is my recommendation, is that we do something, or we clearly come out and say we're doing nothing.
I agree with Matt. For the sake of conversation and to give an up or down vote, I will second Kathy's.
So Kathy's recommendation is the sheriff's recommendation. Different that the caveat is everybody comes to the screening station.
Yeah, and I would just suggest on that 1439, on that it says now therefore be it resolved when it says. Adopt the updated security process for the Gage County Courthouse as presented to us and discussed in closed session of the board on this date, except to provide, how do I put this? Except there will be no separate entrances for employees and other courthouse staff. I don't want to single out the judges because we have other. For instance, the folks that work in the county court are not employees of ours, right?
They're state employees.
Okay. But just saying there will be no separate entrance. Okay. Everybody goes through that. Okay. Yeah, I think I back up on what I said before. I think we should put that in because that does vary from what Sheriff Gustafson was proposing.
Are you still suggesting a six-month time frame? So then, if there would that still we're committing to 6 months.
Yeah, it's in that last paragraph.
So you're gonna change it to after October 29, 2014. You want to add how?
Yes, sir. Except there will be no separate entrance for employees and other courthouse personnel.
Everybody clear on the motion? Are they comfortable with a motion, whether or not however you're going to vote? And if for some reason this doesn't pass, we'll probably have to have a resolution that we're going to do nothing. I guess that's probably what we'll end up.
So I have except for no separate entrance for employee and or personnel.
Yeah, courthouse personnel.
No separate entrance.
No.
Okay. I have a motion and a second. Discussion.
But it does need to include employees if we're going to do it.
Yeah. I see what you're saying.
No doubt.
And I guess I would like to say that I don't believe that we are doing nothing. There are some other things that we discussed that have been in place and need to be proceeded with on a more aggressive manner. as far as training and awareness and this type of thing. So I think to say we're doing nothing isn't really fair.
I will recant that statement. It's probably specific to this. We would be doing nothing. So I stand corrected. You're correct. Discussion? Any more discussion?
I guess I'd just like to say that I think I'd like to accommodate, or I mean, give Brian a little bit of prop here, because I think that our security sergeant here in the courthouse is doing an excellent job. And quite frankly, for that reason, I'm not real comfortable with going forward with putting a station in the lower floor to go through the screening process at this time, because I think that he is doing an excellent job, and I think that the Sheriff's Department is doing a good job in making themselves being seen, and I think they're doing a good job as far as keeping the courthouse safe and doing the things that we need to do to have a courthouse that's secure and safe, not only for the patrons of the county, but also for the employees that work here. I've talked to several of the employees here, and all of them feel safe, as do I, walking into this courthouse. The farthest thing from my mind is that I'm going to be harmed when I walk in them courthouse doors. And I appreciate that very much. And I guess going forward, I'm thinking on that, and I think that we are working towards doing the things to make it safe continuing forward.
The only concern I have with the motion is the 6 months, is that if we commit ourselves to 6 months, we'll probably want to, if something comes up in 2 weeks, we may want to leave that open to adjust it. So the time frame, if that's my only concern, if I say 6 months.
And remember, we're talking two separate motions here.
It does say on or before.
It says
before.
On or before, yeah.
Thank
so you.
Okay.
You'd have retain the authority to amend it, or tweak it, whatever. I mean, if the security personnel comes in and says, hey, we need to talk. whatever it is that's been brought to the attention of the security people, it maybe need to. And again, that's like any plan you come up with on paper, sure looks like it'll work. And then,
and because the security nature, we don't have a start date on this. We have a resolution, but we don't have a start date. That'll just be determined by the security person. All the questions I have. Anything else? Any further discussion? We have a motion and a second. You want to restate your motion?
We accept the sheriff's recommendation for security, which would have a screening station on the lower floor with the east and the south entrance opened, and everybody, including employees and courthouse staff, would go through the screening station.
Thank you. All right, vote. Motion passes 4 in favor, 3 against, 4 Hill, Bauman, Beyer, Setzer against, Juergens, Dorn, Lytle. 4-3. Anything else that's come up? Anything else that's come up today that...
We've got the main motion to vote on now.
I never got a second.
What's that?
Okay. That motion
that was
died.
I never his.
Mine died, right?
Died.
Yeah. Mine died.
And then hers came.
That was the main motion.
That was the main motion.
Hers was.
I never got
main.
A second. Myron's never got a second on his
okay.
motion.
Okay. I got totally confused.
Well, that's why I wanted to keep going through. Yeah, his main motion died.
Need to revote, Denny?
Yeah. I would like to call for a revote on that. Can I do that?
You were on the winning side.
Motion to reconsider the vote. Yeah, you have to go.
He was on the winning side, right? You voted
yes.
in favor?
Yeah, so he's appropriate that he can do that.
So you'd like to make a motion to reconsider?
I would like to make a motion to reconsider.
Motion made by Denny.
Second.
Second by Juergens. Vote.
Is this on the motion to reconsider?
Yeah, this on the motion to reconsider.
We're going
to
get a good schooling in Robert's rules today, aren't we?
All right.
Somebody will correct this.
Yeah.
OK.
Okay, so 7-0 to reconsider the vote. So we're all agreeing to, yes, we're going to reconsider the vote.
Okay. So now.
So now you call for the another vote on Kathy.
We'll go back and reconsider
Gary's
Kathy's vote.
Right.
Yes.
Myron's motion died and never got a second. So that was dead, and then Kathy came forward and made another motion. Okay. And does Kathy need to restate that for you?
You're going to see if I know what I'm talking about.
Frontwards and backwards?
Yeah, I'll get your memory is.
All or nothing. Either right. Everybody screened or nobody.
All right. So vote.
Okay, so what are we doing?
Where are
you at? I'm on the other side, but you...
Okay, which way? All right, I'm shutting this off. What are we doing?
I was writing down some notes, and
sorry.
I wasn't paying attention.
Okay.
Okay, so, again, does everyone understand what we're voting on? Kathy made a motion. It's a screening stations, south and east. Everybody goes through them. No exclusions of any employees. That's the motion. So we voted to reconsider. So now we're voting again. Everybody's clear.
Everybody got their things set.
Yeah. He's done writing notes. Gary, quit writing notes.
I'm where I need to be.
Okay. Vote. Okay. Okay. So then the security motion fails 4-3 in favor Hill, Bauman, Setzer against Juergens, Dorn, Lyland, Byers. So then I'll call for a final motion to continue the security in the courthouse as we are currently doing.
Wait a minute now. Okay. Now what you're...
I'm calling for a motion to continue. So what we're doing then is we're going to continue the courthouse security as we're currently doing it now.
I will make that motion.
Moved by Kathy.
Second.
Seconded by Juergens. Vote 7-0. Nothing changes. Okay. Thank you for everybody's input and work. Anything else? What do we got?
That's okay.
Boswell vote something like this.
We didn't vote twice. But it kind of was. Yeah.
Anything else?
I wasn't sure.
All right. If there's nothing else, we're going to adjourn at 11:13.